I just really enjoyed Santana in that white suit.
That was a highlight of the episode, yes.
A highlight of this episode is really people looking surprisingly good in polyester suits.
You're listening to Glee on the Rocks.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Glee on the Rocks. I am Emily.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Bea.
And this is season 3, episode 16, Saturday Night Glee-ver. It's a terrible title. We hate it. But we're going to roll with it and maybe title this episode something better or worse. Who knows?
I mean, you know? The episode itself is not that great either. So, you know, they put the same amount of effort in.
They did. They put the same amount of effort in titling these episodes as I do. So that's really not saying much. This is a episode. It's another tribute episode dedicated to Saturday Night Fever. Which I guess if you haven't seen is a movie starring John Travolta and polyester. And it's pretty good, I think. Have you guys ever seen Saturday Night Fever? Because I have.
I mean, I have a long time ago and didn't really like it, which probably, you know, is why I don't actually like the episode. I'm not a fan of disco. I didn't really like that movie. And tribute episodes, you kind of have to like the source material for them to really click.
Yes, you do. It's a Saturday Night Fever tribute episode, but really it's a Bee Gees tribute episode.
Yeah.
If they're going off of that.
Yeah, I've never seen Saturday Night Fever. I just really enjoyed Santana in that white suit. That's really yes. What I got the most
that
out of
that was a highlight of the episode, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a highlight of this episode is really people looking surprisingly good in polyester suits.
Yeah.
I think is how to, frame this is who looked the best in polyester.
I mean, we could definitely have a conversation about that. I'm going to say Santana, but we can definitely talk about it.
Concur with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really an argument so much as just a general
discussion.
A discussion about her in the suit. Yeah. For sure. So this is another episode that just starts immediately with a song.
And of course, it's a Blaine solo.
It is.
Again, it starts just like the Michael Jackson one.
Yeah, they really give him the tributes, don't they? They also give him the falsetto.
Yeah, this is the season of Blaine, basically.
It is. Once again, so yes. Sorry to everyone out there who was a Blaine hater. I get it now. I'm so sorry.
I know. Watching this episode again, I was like, oh, I can see where people were getting annoyed. sorry. He doesn't even have any dialogue. He just sings through the whole thing.
Nope, he's just in class dreaming about disco, apparently.
Yeah.
And they were really just like, all right, doesn't matter what the plot is. Darren gets the songs.
Yep.
Basically.
Well, the plot had nothing to do with him. So they're like, well, he's got to have the opener because otherwise he won't get to sing. God, got to make those iTunes sales.
He had more than that, too, didn't he? Didn't he have another song? Or, like, was in part of another song?
Oh, he was just in the background and more than a woman.
Yeah, he's in
right?
the group.
Yeah.
Well, and the Night Fever. The Night Fever is, like, a big group number.
Mm, true, true.
Because apparently Blaine is the one to help teach them disco dance.
Okay, first of all, Darren really holds his own up there with Heather and Harry Shum Jr. Really holds his own.
Welcome to my brain.
I'm so sorry.
That is literally one of the notes that I wrote down is, I know we make fun of Darren, but he's a good dancer.
Yeah, he makes fun of himself too, but he's a good dancer.
I mean, yep, especially compared to those two. I mean, like, compared to them, but, like, when he's trying to hold his own with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's impressive. They really, they stuck him in with two professional dancers, and he just looks like the shortest BG among them. Like, it's not, it doesn't stand out that he is not a professional. Like, I mean, technically, at this point, they all are professional dancers. It's what they're doing on the show.
That's true. Day in and day out.
But those split jumps, like, that had some extension in that jump.
Yeah, the toe touch was really impressed. Great.
Yeah, I was impressed, and I've seen this before, and this time I was like, yeah, look at you. Good job.
Yep. What's the song that he does?
Oh, it's, God, I always have to write down the songs. You Should Be Dancing.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, thank you.
And they do pull moves from the movie, which is kind of fun, you know?
Oh, that is fun. Cool. I didn't know
that. A lot of the choreography from the movie is in the episode. So a lot of the stuff that they're doing is just, and then again, like the choreography from the movie is just stuff that they pulled from disco clubs and gay clubs. So like full circle, I guess, for Darren.
Life imitates art, imitates life. Wow.
Yes, exactly.
Canonly, basically, Blaine loves disco and specifically this movie and taught the dance. There was like him and Brittany and Mike all had like a movie night where they watched Saturday Night Fever. Okay, anyways, I just needed to indulge in that for a second. Okay, all right.
Yes, they had a sleepover and they watched Saturday Night Fever. And although this does remind me of Blaine's line in one of the episodes of like, and I'm performing on the bathhouse circuit. I no longer remember what episode that was from, but I was like, right, he would like disco. But you know, to get to the fact that this episode is just a tribute to a movie, they claim that the theme for Nationals is vintage.
So we thought disco.
And naturally, most of the Glee Club says that they hate disco. And I would just like to point all of our listeners to an episode of a podcast called You're Wrong About the disco demolition. Back.
Yeah, that's a good episode.
It's a really good episode that does, as all of this, it does a deep dive into why people said they hate disco, and really what it was that they hated was more of like a backlash against gay culture and this like sports promotion where you're going to come and bring and your disco records and they were going to smash them turned into a big reactionary movement against disco. So just like to direct people to that episode, have a listen, and then come back to ours. Finish ours first.
Yeah, finish ours first. And then go listen.
I mean, and then go listen.
Already heard of You're Wrong About anyway, but
yes. And then finish us, then go to them, and then come back and tell us what you think about disco. Yeah. I don't know. The plot of this episode is not. Would we say it's about being yourself? Because if you boil it down, we have the arrival of Wade Adams, aka Unique, and serious question, what pronoun should we be using when discussing Wade and Unique? Right?
I don't remember exactly what comes later, like if there's a discussion of...
I don't remember either.
Because I think in the future, Wade kind of goes back and forth with like gender presentation. So maybe just how they're presenting at the time. So Unique in the number and Wade.
I feel like for the purpose of this, obviously because we're talking about a fictional character, for the purpose of this podcast, going along with what is presented in the episode that we are listening to.
Yes, true.
Because the story is unfolding.
That's true. Yes. Yeah.
It is. So we have Wade wanting to express himself as his alter ego, Unique. And then we also have Mercedes trying to grapple with being a star, which should really not be anyone's dream. Like, honestly.
Well, hers was a little more specific. She said recording artist.
Sure, yes.
Santana just said fame. And I don't care how I get it.
Yes. So it's Santana, Mercedes, and Finn trying to work out what they want in their futures. And again, if you are an 18-year-old listening to this, don't make anyone or don't let anyone make you decide what you want to be.
Yeah.
30 years from now.
Especially with a Bee Gees song.
Yes. Don't let the promise of a polyester suit make you decide what your future is going to be, because it's not going to be the same.
But I like that their answers, their ultimate answers, are like just as kind of shitty as you would expect if they like got this assignment yesterday and were like, tell us your dream for your future. Yeah. They're like, I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I have my shoe rant. I don't know if we want to get into it this early, but it's basically centers around what a shitty teacher he is and like the emphasis he's putting on them right now at 18 to know what they want to do. You don't even have to know what you want to do in college when you start college.
No.
I think this is the perfect time for the rant, because that's kind of the inciting incident of the episode. Mm-hmm. Is like, okay, Blaine independently decides to do the one song, but then Shu is like, ah, they hate disco. I will be a good teacher and teach them to love it. And also target these three students. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Mandy, give it to us.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense. And also, like, even if they are teenagers with unrealistic dreams, there's a way to work within that framework. Like, and obviously Shu is not a good teacher. He's not ever going to be shown as a good teacher. But like, why not sit them down and go over like what type of skills you might need in that future career?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she wants to be like a recording artist. Great. Like, show her some programs that'll teach her how to read a contract or something. Like, appeal to the practical aspects. Don't just be like, no, your dreams suck. Let's have some new ones. And also, make them right now.
Make the decision for the rest of your life during this Glee Club practice.
Like, in my faith, like, the episode goes through what, the three, like, Mercedes, Santana, and Finn?
Yeah.
Santana's the only one that has, like, an authority figure actually do something practical.
Yeah, and it's Sue.
Yeah, and it's Sue. I mean, like, that's what you do. And, like, the fact that she said, you know, this may not be what works for me, but she still, like, took the advice. That felt like what should have been, like, the wrap-up for all of them.
Yes. They've
gotten that bit of, like, hopefulness. Like, we believe in you. You can do something, but also here's another option.
Yes, here's an option, and here are actionable steps to get there. Yeah. Go to college. And then see what happens. Like, just straight up moving to Los Angeles at 18 based on a YouTube video.
Well, don't people like make samples that they like send? Don't you like make a demo? That's it. Don't you make a demo? Like, can they like help her figure out how to like make a demo or something?
Do people I think you just go on TikTok now and hope you get a recording contract. Or,
I mean, this is very Bieber-esque that like she has a YouTube video that goes viral or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, also, Will Schuster is someone who knows professional recording artists.
Yes.
So he could even like hook her up with a mentor in that situation. But no, instead, just better tell her she can't do that and then give her no other real options.
This might have been a good time to bring back April Rhodes.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly who I was thinking of. It's like, but you know someone.
Mm-hmm.
That could literally give her practical advice. But no.
They also have a school counselor.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Who's a character on the show who has pamphlets and everything, who could have maybe offered some advice.
But yeah, would have been a good episode for the actual school counselor.
Mm-hmm. Giving some advice on how to seek out your future.
Yeah, because that's the thing is, like, Mercedes is like, I want to be a recording artist. And Santana's like, I want to be famous. But he doesn't, I guess there was, like, a commercial break after they declare these things because no one says anything back to them. Yeah, like, Shu doesn't offer, like, a great, let's look into anything at all. Like, Yeah, super weird. They're just kind of like, okay, great. You have a dream. Like, that's all you wanted out of this shoe. That doesn't make you a good teacher.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No.
This is somewhat unrelated, but it as you were talking about, like, TikTok, I'm very glad Glee is not currently on the air, because you know one of the assignments would have been, like, make a viral TikTok song.
Oh, my God. Yes. Mm-hmm. They would have done the TikTok dances, but also sang, like, the song to go with, oh, God.
So anyway, glad we were spared that.
Well, you know, to seg very awkwardly, but I don't know how else to get to their sex tape.
Yeah.
But Santana's
a star in it.
Exactly. Santana's dream is to be famous, and her loving girlfriend Brittany decides to help out by posting their sex tape and splicing it with, I guess, video of Lord Tubington doing household chores. One, that's child porn and is probably super illegal.
So
two, illegal. They don't talk about the consequences that there's a sex tape unless it happens in another episode. But in this one, other than some Snickers behind her back, is there a fallout for there being a sex tape?
I don't think so, which is funny, because in the episode where, what, Puck and Lauren Zices want to make one, they do actually remember to cover the fact that that's child pornography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Distribution of child porn. Like, you can't,
It's like, was there supposed to be a punchline where it's like, actually it wasn't a sex tape, it was like something else, but like that wasn't true, because people were like acting like it was super skinny. I don't understand.
I know. That one felt like one of those storylines that someone thought was super funny. And I don't even know if in hindsight or even just after it aired, you're like, okay, but no.
I mean, yeah. I feel like that wouldn't have even been funny at the time. I mean, I don't think any of us would have found it funny at the time, but.
No.
I thought Lord Tubington, like, dusting with his tail was funny. And that was it. The rest was horrifying.
Now, that would have made Lord Tubington famous on Instagram or something, which is an account of that cat, that fat fucking cat cleaning. Now, I would watch that.
I mean, I would go for the Lord Tubington content, yes.
Yes, absolutely. So we have Santana wanting to be famous, Mercedes also wanting to be famous, and somehow those are problematic to Schuster when Rachel also just wants to be famous.
Yeah, but Rachel has a plan, so it's different.
He's Rachel Berry. That's what makes it different.
Also true.
It does feel like a low-key way of him saying, she can make it, she's fine, you can't, so never mind.
It does. Yeah, I was trying to figure out what bothered me the most about this, is that no one tells Rachel her dreams aren't attainable, but Santana and Mercedes's dreams are unattainable simply because they're not Rachel, or because Rachel thinks that by going to a made-up school she's immediately going to be a star on Broadway when most people aren't.
But they mentioned in this episode, too, that Mercedes has gotten into a couple of different colleges. So, like, in the state of Ohio, which a lot of people go in-state to college. Like, I went in-state to college. Like, Quinn going to Yale is, like, weird. That's, like, unusual for a school like McKinley. Like, you would get you'd maybe have one or two people go to an Ivy League school, max. So... yeah, those are perfectly valid dreams.
They are. And going to Ivy League does not guarantee you a good future.
Also true. I know. I'm so happy that I went to an in-state school where I got a really good scholarship and I don't have a bunch of student debt from that. And like some people still do, you know, I'm not saying that that's like everybody's experience, but yeah, you don't need to go to fucking Harvard to have a good college experience and get a degree. Like, you'll be fine. You'll get into college somewhere and you'll get the piece of paper just like everybody else.
Yeah.
This is how I felt with Finn's storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And his bothered me the most,
mm-hmm,
because his reaction sometimes felt the most realistic. Like, he's the one going off the wall that He doesn't know what he's doing. Everyone else seems like they know what they're doing. He's going to be worthless. He isn't going to have a future. Everyone else is going ahead of him. What the fuck is he going to do? Feels like a much more realistic experience in your senior year of high school of just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And nobody knows how to talk to him.
Yeah.
Like, his fucking girlfriend is the worst, yeah, especially in this regard. Like, this whole idea of your dreams are bigger than my dreams, and, well, my dreams are your dreams, and you are my dreams. Like, okay, you guys are fucking 18 years old, maybe.
Just being patronizing, too. Like, yes. Nothing about that sounds legitimate.
No, none of it.
It just sounds patronizing.
Yeah.
And of all of the storylines that have had some legs, Finn not knowing what he's going to do out of high school is one of the longest ones.
Yeah, this has been going on all season with, like, the football thing falling apart. And, yeah.
Football falling apart.
The pool cleaning in
pool
LA.
Aside, Noah's Ark Pool Cleaning is actually a great name for a pool cleaning service, and I hate that. just when he said that, I was like, fuck, that's a good name for a pool cleaning service, and I hate it. But... yeah, his football dreams are over. His military dreams came and went. He's not just going to follow Rachel to New York as, like, a kept boy, I guess. Although people are acting like the only thing that you can do in New York is Broadway. Yeah. There are other jobs in New York City, and there are a lot of, like... yes, entertainment is a big one, but so is fucking finance and the arts education. Like, any job that you could want is in New York. It's not, you don't have to put on tap shoes to live there.
Yeah.
Just a note to the kids out there. But no one is just telling him, you don't have to know, just keep living. Like, just take some fucking classes your freshman year of college. None of them matter anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, go to community go a solid year and a half in college taking nothing but, like, generic basics.
Yeah.
And it's still going to be useful.
Yeah. You build a solid foundation. We call this the humanities. Like, you build a foundation of knowledge, and then eventually maybe something sparks and you're like, oh, that sparks joy. I'll go in that direction.
Yeah.
But you don't have to start at, like, why is there no one telling him? Is that just because it's a TV show and the writers think that the viewers are also like, my dreams of stardom and exceptionalism? Is it, that's not how life.
I think so.
Jaded as fuck.
I desperately wish someone had, just to bring some realism to it, just, like, even mentioned community college to Finn.
Yes.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yes. Community college is great.
I mean, me and my associate's degree are definitely fans of it.
Yeah.
It's so much cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's a great option for someone like Finn, who's, like, not really sure what he wants to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, because when you're in high school, it's like, you know how to go to class. Like, you know how to be a student. Like, that's a natural choice of, like, yeah, give yourself some time, figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, it's great. I, like, Glee on the Rocks proudly sponsors or recommends community college.
We endorse, yes.
We endorse. That's the word I was looking for. I went to grad school, so I don't use words. You forget these things. Also, don't go to grad school. It's not worth it.
What truly pisses me off the most about this storyline, like, all of this, but it's like, okay, if they were doing this to wrap up people's storylines, to set up what's going to happen in the next season, you know, like, we're kind of seeing this snapshot of, like, okay, what does this show think about this character and their storylines and their trajectory here? Like, Finn, you know, ultimately deciding, I'm going to go to New York with you and join the actor's studio. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Finn didn't even participate in West Side Story. I don't know what this is about him wanting to be an actor.
I know.
But that's a separate conversation. But It doesn't make any damn sense because Santana literally stands up and is like, fuck New York. Like, she literally is like, you idiots going to New York. That's stupid. And then she ends up in New York next season, like within 10, 15 episodes from now. So, like, what?
Who? They could not keep the characters right. apart.
Yeah, no, that's just, I don't know.
Like, they set up Finn going to that. I know. They set up Finn going to New York. He doesn't go to New York. They set up Santana going to Kentucky. She ends up going to New York. They set up, like, it's just maddening how they have zero, like, plan or forethought.
I felt like this, kind of piggybacking on that, I really felt like this episode. That it was gearing up towards a series finale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, this really felt like these are our characters and a bunch of them are approaching the end of high school and our show is high school and we're gonna see them off into the future. We're gonna see Mercedes off to Los Angeles. We'll see Kurt and Rachel off to New York, and maybe we won't know exactly what's going on, but we'll know that that's where they end up, right? Like,
right.
And then the show ends and you kind of just theorize, oh, maybe Kurt's on Broadway, maybe he's Blaine's working at a coffee shop, maybe,
and like
Santana,
people kind of mention it, you know, like, yeah. Oh, I heard from Kurt, he's
and, I mean, it also had some backdoor pilot feelings to it.
Yeah, you could start a show about
if they wanted to do a spinoff for any of the characters, like, great way to set up what direction they're going to be going in.
And I feel like that was on the table for a while, wasn't it?
I remember a lot of fan rumor about spinoffs. Mm. I don't remember that there was any weight behind them. Kind of hate this show sometimes.
I love how far we've gotten away from this episode, because this episode is just like a bunch of music and nonsensical plot.
It is, but you know, there's pieces in this episode that make you think nothing about Glee makes you think, but there's pieces of it where you're like, if you've already seen the show, you can create a thread.
Mm.
Like we were talking about with these, you know, fake spinoffs of Mercedes in LA or all these other things, like you could take it there, and then they don't. And then you start thinking about, like, what the fuck were you doing in the first place? Like, here is this episode, past the middle of the season. We're kind of rounding third, and you're starting to set up the characters post-high school. And then what do you do with it? They don't follow through in ways that made sense. Mm-hmm. So we get, like, the only person whose future kind of makes sense is Rachel and Kurt. Like, they have said from the beginning, we're going to New York, and they go to New York, which is its own kind of boring. Because there's no surprise there, but for a show like this, I guess something has to happen that follows.
Well, they do the whole thing of, like, will they get into Niata or won't they?
Yeah. And
so they try to, yeah.
They try. Now, Finn following his high school girlfriend to
fiance,
New York.
Could almost wife.
Sorry. Fiance, wife who didn't want to get married because her best female friend got hurt. And then they never get married because of Quinn. Finn could, there could have been some interesting storylines of Finn in New York not knowing what to do. Right,
100% trying like a bunch of different odd jobs, or like, because they all end up like working minimum wage jobs at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, that's interesting. Yeah,
yeah. If he had to go around, even like a fucking montage, what could have been boring. But you know, he's working at the Times Square Olive Garden.
Oh my god, that would be so funny. Oh, that, like, would be hysterical.
Like the bigger version of breadsticks.
Yeah.
Like, they've graduated to Olive Garden from breadsticks. You know, he just has to go from shit job to shit job, and no one can pay the rent. And, you know, that there's possibility there, and to just keep him in Ohio because drama is boring and I don't care for it.
Well, it sounds like in the background of them writing this episode, they were, the New York spinoff was on the table, and they were truly thinking about, like, okay, who are we going to send to New York to be on the spinoff? Because Kurt says to Mercedes, he's like, oh, have you thought about NYU? Like, like, they were kind of like, okay, Kurt, Rachel, Finn, maybe Mercedes can be also there, or like, you know, a guest star or something. And then, yeah, like they were, and then clearly, you know, like, literally 5 episodes later, it's like, oh nope, not doing that anymore. Rachel's gonna go to New York and blah blah blah. So that's wild. The Glee writers room.
Wild. I think that's why this episode had that feeling of setting up an ending for that exact reason.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, and then you're like,
but yeah.
Why do you do this?
Why would you write this episode this way if you didn't know? I don't,
because they're
Just flying by the seat of their pants all the fucking time with this show.
I know.
I will say, though, okay, as much negative things as I said about this episode, I was entertained. There's a lot of music. It's upbeat. There's a lot of fun performances from people who don't normally get to perform so much. So that's fun.
Yes. There's
Mercedes Disco Inferno. Brings down the fucking house.
It does. Yeah. I think we have skipped over the fact that Sue Sylvester has her own disco dance floor. And that apparently both Sue and Shu deeply love disco.
Yeah.
Deeply.
Which is fine. It really feeds my crackship heart that they're both in disco, and that they shared some glances across the dance floor a couple times, and I felt like that was there just for me.
Yes, love that.
Family service.
Yes, that was just for me.
Not fan service, Emily service.
No, Ryan Murphy, I called him up. I said, I need more sushu. And I was granted this episode. So you're welcome, the rest of the viewers.
Oh my god, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Going back to Mercedes, though, I like that she got to perform with her Trouble Tones girls.
Yes.
They have a little squad, and I love it.
Yeah, I just don't like the style of music. So even the performances that I objectively appreciated, like Mercedes and Santana, I'm still just not excited about them because I don't like the music.
That's fair. Okay. Do you like the pants?
The pants?
Yeah. Like polyester pants look terrible on most people.
I'm going to say no, except for on Santana.
Mm-hmm. Like, you weren't into Shu putting on the suit at the end?
No.
Your little chest hair showing and, like, the necklace. Sue looked great.
Matt is not here for this episode. We do not need to. Again, my cat has been. We do not need to linger on sexual appeal of Will Schuster.
Oh, that's the only reason I do this podcast, is to think about Will Schuster and polyester.
There's going
to
be one more loud thing that gets knocked down, I think. Hold on.
Like, talking about shoes. Stop it.
Now he's done.
You're just walking on things, knocking them over.
He's on top of my dresser, knocking things over, yes.
Amazing.
You just watched it happen.
I did, yeah. I was going to let him say his piece. I'm assuming that's Schuster related.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thank you for listening to the cat.
Was that Pirate?
Yes, that was Pirate, and I have just escorted him out of the room, so now you'll hear his angry whining before.
I love a podcast cameo.
Yeah, podcasts. I love, you know, you shoo a dog out of your way. You politely escort a cat.
Yeah.
You ask them and kind of, you kind of tap the butt a little bit, like, go on, go on.
Yeah.
They look at you over their shoulder like, I'm not doing this for you.
That's literally how it happened. Like, he went out on the like tenuous premise that I might give him food. And as soon as he realized I was shutting the door, he was like, I did not agree to this.
Amazing. Segue to Unique.
Well, yeah. I was going to say that Sam records Mercedes' number.
He does.
And
he
puts it on YouTube without her permission, which is
a little shitty.
A little shitty. But she gets 400 comments all saying that she's great.
Yes. Well, she is. He is the original Instagram boyfriend.
Yes. He is. Oh, my God, yes. And they kiss.
I was a little bit sad that the show didn't in some way reference the fact that the series opens with Rachel getting a lot of hate comments on YouTube.
Oh my God, true.
Because that's like in the first episode, she uploads a video of herself and everyone's just like shitting on her for it.
Well, you know, people either love or hate the Glee Club depending on the episode and the day and the alignments of the planets. So,
well, maybe the comments were people who didn't know about the Glee Club. They were just like, here's a fly woman dancing.
I think in the first episode, isn't it MySpace? So it's like people who are friends with her on MySpace. Yeah. Yeah, so this is like strangers, which is a good thing. That's what,
crazy.
That's what Rachel should have done. Put it on YouTube for strangers.
I feel like Sam is actually the only real supportive boyfriend on Glee.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I hate to say that about Kurt and Blaine.
Kurt and Blaine got some issues right now, so.
They do.
I mean, they both have their, like, ego and performance-driven, like, attention-seeking.
Mm. Yeah.
And they really do. Bad at communication.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, in this episode, I don't know that they say anything to each other, but they do dance.
Well, they sit. Well, that's in a like fantasy sequence, so they like sit pretty far away from each other. And
I noticed that. Yeah. I wasn't gonna say anything, but I did notice Kurt and Blaine sitting on opposite sides of the dance floor, and I don't care for that kind of oppression.
We're gonna file a complaint for that.
Yep. I'd like to submit my formal complaint. I was trying to think of something.
Grievance, Ryan Murphy.
There we go. A grievance. Boo.
Put a dollar in the Glee pun jar.
Yeah. Oh no, we'd be broke.
Oh, I have no money.
Oh no, it'd be terrible. No, you people have to give us money every time we make a bad pun.
Oh, I like that better. Yes.
Yeah. I subscribe. If you join us on our Patreon, I'll make all the Glee puns you want.
Yeah, right.
I'll make a list.
Well, we'll make pretty little gifts to go along with them so that they're fun to look at.
I love it.
I mean, I won't. I don't know how to use Photoshop, but someone will. This episode is useless. There's no thread to this at all.
Okay, now I want to talk about Unique because...
Okay.
Unique is one of my all-time favorite characters, and honestly, Wade was a little not as lovable in this episode as I remembered.
Mm.
I think he really comes into his own after this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this was truly supposed to be his only appearance, probably. I don't know. I didn't, like, Google that or anything, but I'm just thinking about, like, the winning hierarchy of...
Yeah, most of them didn't get as one or two appearances.
Yeah. Because Gerber Baby got two songs.
and Allie, what's her name in the wheelchair?
Allie Stroker, right. She's in the next season.
She got what, two
later
episodes?
In the season? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I don't know how many Alex Joel was put in.
Does she come back a second time?
Anyway. Allie?
Yeah.
No, I think it's just one.
Okay.
Hmm.
But I think this was, you know, in the whole vein of Glee being a actual groundbreaking leading show at the time, I can't remember a you know, character on TV who was gender nonconforming in any sense of the word before this. I know there are some. I think there was one on Degrassi before this and like maybe one more, but one of a very small handful of like characters who were gender nonconforming. And that was so cool. And Boogie Shoes is one of my all time favorite Glee numbers. It really is.
It's real good.
It's so good.
It's good. I don't think it was in Saturday Night Fever though, so it feels
well that wasn't
I know just
Wade's assignment for the week, so
just you know, like it took me out of the moment.
Yeah.
It took me out of the dramatic drive of Glee to have a musical number that did not fit the brief. I just thought they could have done better.
And I know how passionate you are about Glee and its themes.
I am. I did think it was interesting that Wade had a number prepared that did tie in to what the character was going to be wearing later on. Like Vocal Adrenaline prepared Boogie Shoes without knowing that a pair of sparkly heels once worn by Janet Reno was going to be included.
That's true, because Wade, before he puts on the unique like makeup and stuff, is like getting ready in the chair, but wearing like a very boring outfit. I was like, damn, they're going to sing lead on that song, like not even with a cool jacket or something. Like, what was that?
Yeah.
I blame Jesse St. James, honestly, who I forgot was in this episode, and I was delighted to see because I love John Groff.
Yep.
But I blame him unequivocally.
I also love, okay, so what's happening here, I think we've maybe jumped the gun. We haven't. Everyone knows what's happening in this episode. But Wade approaches Kurt and Mercedes because they are his heroes.
Kurt Hummel and Mercedes Jones. Unique worships the red carpet you walk on. If you two had a love child, it would be unique.
And he wants their advice, I guess, about presenting as he wants to be on their regionals, right?
Yes.
So like he wants to wear a dress and heels at regionals and present as his alter ego Unique, who is female presenting, not just like drag, but female presenting. And although I immediately thought of like Tu Wong Fu, which is not good. But so I don't entirely know why he asks Kurt and Mercedes for their advice when neither of them have ever dressed differently on stage, but I guess because they're fabulous, I think is what he was going for. But so they tell him not to wear the sparkly high heels during the performance because they think it will cause him to be bullied, which, given their experiences at McKinley, is probably pretty true.
As Mercedes says,
"This is Ohio."
Which, as someone who grew up in Alabama, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Sue Sylvester, briefly reappearing as season one Sue Sylvester, tells them to tell Wade to put on the heels because she thinks it will help them tank the performance, meaning they won't make it to nationals and the New Directions will have a better chance of winning nationals because they can't beat Vocal Adrenaline on their own merits. Right?
And they don't make it very clear if like Mercedes and Kurt agree with this and send the heels to Sabotage, because they do go, they send the heels and then they go backstage and are like, we sent the heels, but we don't, you know, we like changed our mind. Like, you can't do this, like whatever. And
yeah. So that means that they did send them wanting to tank the performance, which doesn't feel
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
I feel like there could have been one scene in between or like one comment where it's like, okay, Sue sent them. We didn't actually send them. Like Sue sent them and put our names on it. But we're here to like tell you that we didn't do it and we don't think it's or whatever. Yeah.
Do you think that Kurt and Mercedes have come far enough that they would have told Wade, be unique always? Like, it felt a little like a season one problem of wanting to wear a dress and heels. It feels like maybe they had grown past that.
I don't know, though, because I think they're even today, I mean, this was several years ago, but I think even today, it's there's some people struggle to reconcile the LG and the B with the T. And that's just like something that, I mean, honestly, it's usually white privileged gay men, not all, but often is, who struggle to have solidarity with people who are gender nonconforming and on the, and, you know, under the transgender umbrella. So I'm not surprised that they kind of saw that as something that they didn't fully understand or fully not support, but, you know, like fully endorse, I guess.
Well, they're all wrong because Wade looks fabulous as unique and has definitely been practicing in those shoes.
I know. Ah, so amazing.
I don't wear heels, but she does. And, can certainly dance like hell in them. I'm still not sure how Jesse St. James didn't notice that Unique had changed costumes before she went out on stage.
Yeah, really. Well, it wasn't a subtle costume.
No.
I mean,
honestly, based on the huge fucking smiles from everybody else in Vocal Adrenaline, I think either everybody else in Vocal Adrenaline is a huge, great, loud and proud ally and like made sure that Jesse didn't know before Unique came out. Or they also hate Jesse for being so mean to them. And they were like, let's do it because we're just going to screw him over and make him upset.
I mean, I would genuinely love to have seen just like a random ass episode of that happening at Mount Carmel where like Wade decides like he's ready to be unique and everyone just rallies around him to support Wade and also fuck over Jesse St. James.
I love that. It's the official headcanon.
Yes.
I accept. Yeah. No, that would have been great. And that's the end of the episode. Is supportive teammates rather than what the fuck is going on in the new directions most of the time.
Right. I mean, spoiler alert, Unique does perform as Unique again later on. So Jesse comes around, which is good.
Yeah.
Anything to win those competition.
I was going to say, like, anything to get to the top of the pile. Yeah, no, I just, it's a good song. Unique is an amazing singer. And, you know, more competition for the New Directions. Maybe that's why they all go to New York, because they're like, look, we can't compete, so we better just leave. do we have any other bones of contention in this episode? It really is about like getting these kids to find their quote-unquote dreams,
crushing their dreams and offering them no practical alternatives.
Yes, exactly. That's what I meant.
Yep. Or just being like, you'll be fine, after literally Mercedes very detailed is like, I don't know how to do X, Y, and Z. And he's like, oh, the cream always rises to the top. Like,
I know.
The fuck?
Yeah. I know. That really,
really unhelpful.
Like, no, skinny white people rise to the top.
Oh, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yes.
Not talent. I mean, everyone in the top 40 is great. I can name them, looks at hand.
Oh, I do have a bone of contention. I remember it. Okay, so the whole thing, they were, she was like, how do I get the kids invested? And Sue was like, they love swag. And so the whole thing is that you're going to win this suit, which is so cute. One of my favorite lines is Kurt being like,
oh my God, I need that suit.
I love that line. Okay, so it's like, you got to win this suit, blah, blah, blah. And then he narrows it down to Finn, Mercedes, and Santana. And then he's like, actually, I rigged it.
I picked you guys on purpose. You need to find, you know, whatever. So then they do it. And then at the end, big reveal, they're like, who won the suit? And all three of them come out in the suit. And you're like, oh, that's great. They all won. But then everyone gets a suit.
I know.
Everyone. Everyone. And it's like, so what was the point of the competition? And not even like, they're not even wearing a different suit. They're not even wearing like a suit in a different color. They're wearing the same suit. I don't understand. The plot makes absolutely no sense at that point. Also, did Becky make all those suits?
No, I forgot about that. Poor Becky.
Poor yeah. Becky. They're like, chain her to the sewing machine.
Chained to the sewing machine and yet has everyone's exact measurements.
Yeah, well.
Right? And everybody's in the tailored suit.
Considering what they show of Becky sometimes, like, maybe she does just have everyone's exact measurements.
Maybe so, yeah. It's true.
It did fit into Shu's problem of declaring everyone the winner after a competition.
Yes, always. God, like, true.
Blaine's line of like, you always do this. Like, he does. He really does. He pits them against each other. And then he's like, but everyone wins. Like, okay, then why did we go through this entire fucking exercise?
At some point, you'd think they'd realize, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, we can phone it in. We're all good.
That'd be a really fun episode, though, if he tried to do one of these competitions and they're just like, no, we all are going to win at the end. So no. Oh boy. What an episode. I don't know. Like, again, like you said, it was fun, but it was fun and yet aggravating in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like them dancing to various disco music is fun, right? Like, it's a little cheesy. It's a little corny. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then the stuff with Finn and Mercedes and Santana is just like, why do you do this? But Blaine got dipped, so that was cute. That helps.
That was cute. Yes.
That was cute. More than a woman. That's one of my favorite. I don't know what. I like that moment is what I'm trying to say. Because they after so many episodes of like Kurt and Blaine not sitting next to each other, not getting a kiss when other couples do, blah, blah, blah. It was nice to see them specifically included in something. Mm-hmm. That was really nice. Yes.
That was
nice. Oh, that does tie into one of my brief gripes, which is that Brittany Santana moment where any other like straight couple absolutely would have kissed.
Yes. Well, in Sue's office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that students kissing in a teacher's office should be normal, right. But on Glee, any other couple would have, yes. Except for, you know, Blaine.
Yes.
Except the gay ones. Yep.
Except the gays. Yep. That is true.
Blaine was the girl in the situation when they were
dancing. I wasn't going to say it, but I thought I was leading. Yeah. I wasn't going to say it. I'm glad you said it.
Makes sense because Kurt is taller, but I thought that was cute. Because they do try to do that, like, Blaine's with the boys and Kurt's with the girls, like, before, like, when they did Summer Lovin' and stuff. So I like the Glee keeps mixing it up.
A little bit, yeah. I did appreciate that. And, you know, for whatever reason they chose, I liked it.
And they looked cute in their little polyester. Although I didn't like that Kurt's hair was down. I was like, is that a 70s thing? Put his hair back up. He looks like 18 hideous. Again.
Yeah. That hair was like.
I still have that reaction to Chris Colfer if I see him with his hair down. I'm
like, no, put it back up.
Yep. But no, just put it back. Put that back. Do you have a favorite song out of these 9 songs? 8 songs?
Santana's song.
If I can't have you. It was a good song. Yes.
It was good.
Assumption that it's about Britney, not fame, because that's cuter. I just love their reactions all through it. Like, Britney's over the moon, and that's adorable.
So she was. Yeah, I think Santana saying that it was about fame is just a deflection.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. B?
I think Boogie Shoes is my favorite. I just adore that song and that sequence.
And I completely forgot that that was like their regionals. Like, why are they performing? Oh, right.
Remember when they used to be against Vocal Adrenaline in regionals, like season one?
Yeah, no, that was why I was so confused. Like, why aren't they against each other?
Yeah, just hand waving that.
I'm confused.
Redistricting, you know. What was your favorite, Emily?
I like You Should Be Dancing, but I think it's more of a performance song.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun. Like, I liked watching them enjoy it. Like, everyone looked like they were having a really good time.
Yeah.
Which I always like in these kinds of episodes is when they seem like it's fun. And maybe, like, behind the scenes, they just were hating themselves. And people, like, that's fine. But on screen, I feel the joy.
Good acting accomplished.
Good acting accomplished. For once. Do we even have a Kevin McScale? I actually wrote Where's Artie in my notes.
He's in the final number. I only know because I was like, wait, there's only one wheelchair, so where's Quinn? And where was Sugar and Rory? They just weren't in this episode, which is weird.
No, just gone.
Glee, you can't get away with that shit. They're in school. They would be truant. Like, a person can't just not come to a whole week of school. Pisses me off.
I mean, I think high school may beg to differ, but, you know.
True.
It wasn't any close.
They're supposed to be practicing for nationals. Whoa. No, they don't practice.
They were actually doing their homework. Someone was studying for the SATs. So I don't know what, like, a 0.5?
Did he even get a line? I feel like it's zero. He was there, though, so I don't know.
He was there. I don't recall a line in particular.
Okay. Like 0.25.
Yeah.
I can see the 0.5 or a 0.25. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to say we think he was there. How is our claim decks?
I mean, the dip gets a little bit of credit.
The dip gets credit. The rest is a little thin on the ground, though.
Yeah, they don't sing to each other. They don't have a duet. They don't have a conversation. They do look at each other from across the room when Santana's singing. And then they are in this fantasy sequence. So, like, a 4?
A 4 for the dip alone. Yeah. And for not actively being broken up.
Yeah. We're nearing the point where they do get credit for that.
They're not actively fighting, so.
Not actively yelling, so. Tan hands.
Oh my god, I forgot about that one.
You couldn't see I did the gesture, too. I couldn't help it.
I know you did.
Looks weird when someone has tan hands.
Tan hands. Oh god.
Peak.
I'm not ready for that.
Eek.
Oh, man.
How's our coulda, shoulda, woulda?
Oh.
I mean, too much and also nothing to say at the same time.
I think they shoulda had a guidance counselor talk to Finn about his options.
My coulda, shoulda, woulda is the entire, like, everything I said in the first half of this podcast.
But that's the thing. They did have a guidance counselor talking to him, and he threw them in the trash.
Because that's true.
Everybody was just looking at him being like, oh, we fixed you. Like, yeah. Not good.
All your problems are solved.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. So, I don't know. This was a rough one. I think it was also rough coming off of Big Brother.
Yeah.
It's hard to step into Cooper's shoes.
Tribute ones are always either a slam dunk or questionable, I think. And this one's questionable.
Yes. So I was reading up on some trivia, and it is the first tribute episode that was not written by Ryan Murphy.
Mm.
And the second tribute to a movie, and also the second tribute to an album. So it is both a tribute to a movie, which is also the album, and is the third episode that contains, I guess it's the third in the series, but contains a pun on the word glee in it.
There should be more.
There's the Rocky Horror Glee Show, a very right. Glee Christmas, Saturday Night Gleever, and then Gleece, which is maybe the worst word.
It was called Gleece. I didn't remember that. That's stupid. Yes.
And then Glee Actually, which is also terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, I just looked up like Glee tribute episodes, and there was a top 10 list, and there was no Saturday Night Gleever there. I don't even know if it'd make a top 15, honestly.
Not surprised. Other interesting trivia, because sometimes the trivia is just great. The disco floor is, in fact, the real disco floor from Saturday Night Fever.
Oh my god, what?
Which means that, like, they just kept it in storage.
Someone knew where that was for, like, 40 years? Holy shit.
There's a lot of storage of famous props. Yeah.
That's
and someone
amazing.
Was trying to make a museum, and I can't remember.
Debbie Reynolds.
Yes. Thank you. This is the second time that Quinn does not speak at all in an episode.
Mm. She has some interesting facial expressions.
She does.
Was doing the best she could.
Sugar was absent from the episode, apparently because Vanessa's contract did not allow her to participate in tribute episodes.
Interesting.
That's
weird.
That's so specific. Yeah.
I don't understand.
Michael either?
I don't think so.
So then she's not in the next one either, because that's the Whitney Houston. I'm bugging over this.
I think we need to fact check that one, because there's something about that that does not seem rational.
That's so random to have them in there. Huh.
Yeah. So anyway, there's some other fun stuff, but I thought those were some good ones.
I love the trivia. Thank you.
Get some trivia going for us. So do we have any other? I don't even have some favorite lines from this one. There was nothing that really sparked joy for me other than the...
They were autographed by my good friend Janet Reno, and she wore them on the day they caught the Unabomber.
Sue's line about Britney.
She gets an idea once every couple of years.
I mean, it's such an easy joke to make with Britney, but something about the delivery made me laugh. I mean, I'm just going to say Jane Lynch is a good actress.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're not worthy of her, truly.
Indeed. Well, I think that's a wrap on Saturday Night Gleever. I hate that. This Gleever. Thank you for listening. If you want to check out, we have a sister podcast called Supernatural on the Rocks. We are going to be pimping it and promoing because it's our fucking podcast and we can do whatever we want. So you can find that at SPN on the Rocks. I think it's the same URL across the board. And
you've been listening to Glee on the Rocks, a podcast by OTR Productions. A huge thank you to our sound editor, Adriana, and our podcasts who secretly run the show. For more episodes, download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Podchaser, and more at Glee on the Rocks. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to our Patreon account at patreon.com/GleeOnTheRocks. Subscribers get ad-free episodes, exclusive mini-episodes deep diving into the fandom, salty opinions, and so much more. So until next time, that's what you missed on Glee.